Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk.
Hello and welcome to Autonomous Action Radio. Autonomous Action Radio is aired on Zed Digital and podcast on autonomousactionradio.com. Portions of this program air originally on 4ZZZ's The Aniki Show between 12 and 1 p.m. on Mondays. The music you can hear underneath my voice is binaural beats meditation music by Jandy Rainbow. More information about this can be found at unisonicascension.com. I use this music in most of my shows, and I'd like to thank Jandy for letting me do so. I'm your nature-loving anarchist host, Linda, and today I would like to suggest you spend some time outside to connect or maybe reconnect with nature. Many studies have shown significant health benefits from exposure to nature, a reduction in stress, anxiety, and depression, and an increase in energy, fitness, immune functioning, and vitamin D intake. You don't need to go on a major journey to experience the benefits of nature. Living in inner-city Brisbane, I have learned to appreciate the wildlife around me, birds, possums, bats, frogs, ants, bugs, grasshoppers, trees, shrubs, vines, and grass. Especially good areas for finding wild nature are abandoned houses and buildings or building sites. Take a walk around your neighborhood and see what you can find. You can also bring nature into your house. Houseplants improve air quality by up to 90%, and you could even grow herbs in sunny areas and windowsills. Anyway, moving on to what's on today's show, we're going to be looking at G in the anarchist activist alphabet and speaking with Still Wild, Still Threatened's Miranda Gibson about the Tasmanian Forest Agreement Bill, which includes a clause that holds up areas of forest as ransom as a way of silencing dissent. Right now we're going to hear a new song by Steve Biko. It's called World's on Fire.
We're almost done, man. We're halfway there.
The president is wild. The president is the fryer. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The president's a liar. The president is wild. The president is the fryer. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. You seen it on the news. Now it's freedom or death, so what you gonna choose? Life is too short to be a slave of the system, so we pissing on the misery they gave. The first world and corporate plots to exploit it. Mainstream musicians hear my shots but avoid it. But the masses drew a line in the sand. Now it's proven that the people got the power in their hand. Chinese taking over the Philippines. French fighter jets dropping bombs at the guillotines. Sierra Leone economies controlled by Lebanese. So until this camaraderie, best believe I'll let it squeeze. Ain't no mystery about your brother Steve. B-I-K-O, this ain't that same old. First Libya, now Syria, a NATO quagmire. Hezbollah resistance, yo, the world's on fire.
The president's a liar.
The president is wild. The
president is the fryer.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The president's a liar.
The president is wild.
The president is the fryer.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire. The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
The world's on fire.
Ethnic hatred breeds mass slaughter. That's the basics in this world order. Divide them, conquer them, hide them, documents that were stimulated in Tifada of your common sense. As the world turns more intense, military-driven deaths become more immense. U.S.-backed dictators drop like dominoes. You can't match this greatest time that we've ever known. Netanyahu is a prisoner of greed. Zionist oligarchs and Russia need to take heed.
No doubt.
The walls are closing in on your fortune. We ain't selling no more poison, dog. We taking our portion.
Taking that.
Why they criticize Mugabe and Zimbabwe? The European lobby block Gaddafi's aid to Mali. The birth of South Sudan, a man must admire. But watch out for masses plan. The world's on fire.
The president's a liar.
The president is wild.
Meanwhile, so-called Arab Spring is reaching Iraq, and the Kurds in the north want their sovereignty back. War crimes in the Sahara perpetrated by Morocco, waiting for media to break the silence in the Congo. Innocent protesters shot in Bahrain. No shock, John Kerry ain't say a damn thing. Too busy claiming Al-Qaeda is running Yemen, while Saudi Arabia deprived the right to drive the women. Reactionary rappers ain't concerned with injustice, or the kids in Kashmir splash tears of thirst and hunger. Mexican drug laws and drug wars for meth, high-tech weapons supplied by the ATF. Hold your breath, it just might be your last. The fallout from Fukushima and it's liable to last another 100 years. The atmosphere's an igniter, light your Molotov cocktail. The world's on fire.
The president's a liar.
The president is wild.
The president is a fryer. The world's on fire.
Okay, you better listen to me good, because this is the ABCs of anarchism.
So moving on from F in the anarchist activist alphabet, the next letter, as you know, is G. G is for gentrification, genetic engineering, global warming, and gender. So for a quick look at gentrification, we're going to turn to the Urban Dictionary. Gentrification occurs when urban renewal of lower class neighborhoods attracts yuppie tenants. This drives up rent and drives out long-term lower income residents. It often begins when local artists who move to an area looking for a cheap place to live give the neighborhood a bohemian flair. This hip reputation attracts yuppies who want to live in such an atmosphere, and drives out the lower income residents who are frequently ethnic or racial minorities. Gentrification also involves the yuppification of local businesses. Shops catering to yuppie tastes like sushi restaurants, Starbucks, etc. These replace local businesses displaced by higher rents. The term was coined by sociologist Ruth Glass, who says, "One by one, many of the working class quarters of London have been invaded by the middle classes, upper and lower. Shabby modest mews and cottages, two rooms up and down, have been taken over when their leases expired, and have become elegant, expensive residences. Once this process of gentrification starts in a district, it goes on rapidly until all or most of the original working class occupiers are displaced and the whole social character of the district is changed." We're going to hear a song now by Ryan Harvey from the anti-profit mutual aid collective of radical artists and musicians, Riot Folk. This song is called Gentrification.
Like a poverty wall. Investors chose this neighborhood to market, buy and sell. Now there's condos growing like weeds, making the rent prices swell. The place that you were born in, the block where you were raised. The gentrification monster came and put it in its grave. They built a big hotel on the corner to bring the tourists in. Built a new prison wing for the local kids. There's a difference between development and gentrification. If there's a difference between a local shop and a global corporation. Another shopping center full of big box stores undercutting local businesses. They're gonna close their doors, that's gentrification. Gentrification. saturate the media with logos and names. You get lost inside that world and you forget to point the blame. But there's a process behind the building based on market rates, so they're pushing you out of your building to make a clean slate. Switching the colors in the neighborhood by switching the class, while some big developer's getting rich sitting on his ass. You gotta pack your bags and hit the road, or maybe hit the streets. Not poor enough for sympathy, not rich enough to compete. There's a difference between development and gentrification, and there's a difference between a local shop and a global corporation. One builds a higher standard that everyone enjoys, the other picks your pockets bare and gives you back the coins. That's gentrification. Gentrification. In search of something new, families are moving out, crossing over the imaginary line to the next town. Borders defining counties, borders defining states, determining who profits, determining who pays. They call it development, but it starts with destruction. First they demolish, then they start construction. A violent cycle enforced by cops and debt, one manifestation of a global human threat. There's a difference between development and gentrification, as there's a difference between a local shop and a global corporation. As they market off the cities like products in a store, the rich get richer and the poor stay poor. That's gentrification. 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 Gentrification.
Thank you. April 22nd, Earth Day, a day when people around the world go the extra mile to care for our delicate planet. A day to remember to recycle, to drive your Prius, to reduce your carbon footprint. And a day where I like to go around telling everyone I see, fuck the Earth. I'm Jack English, and I paid for this ad to tell you about a new and better holiday, April 23rd. Fuck the Earth Day. In the past several years, the Bush administration's cast a lot of good doubt on liberal media myths like deforestation and global warming. And as a true patriotic American, I blindly follow what my wise elected leaders tell me. So on April 23rd, don't worry about what the hippie alarmists are saying and do what makes you feel good. Leave your lights on. Drive a Hummer. Pour oil on a duck. Remember, global warming is just a theory, like evolution or the metric system. And come on, if the globe is so warm, why was it so cold this winter? In my opinion, the Earth's gotten a bit soft these past few years. What we need to do is slap it around a bit. Make Earth our bitch. What's the worst thing that can happen? We flood some cities and destroy the food chain? Learn to swim and eat fucking rocks, people. Swim and eat rocks. Happy Fuck the Earth Day.
Global warming is probably the biggest threat to life on this planet. If you don't count the thousands of nuclear weapons which could be fired at any moment, or indeed the radiation still spewing from Fukushima, or the hundreds of other equally fragile nuclear power plants around the planet. To talk about global warming, we have our resident eco-feminist Kim Stewart, who manages to weave in our other G-word, gender.
Global warming is the heating of the atmosphere by the anthropocentric emissions of carbon, which are trapping the sun's heat in the atmosphere and causing massive changes in the climate worldwide. Contrary to common sense, some parts of the Earth aren't actually going to heat up. Some are actually getting colder as a result. For instance, in the news lately, the Arctic has been melting at a rapid rate, so rapid that polar bears are drowning. But at the same time, Antarctica is getting a little bit bigger. More ice in Antarctica, and that's as a result of heating in the middle of the Earth changing the ocean's currents. Is there nothing that global warming can't make a balls up of? Even this week, they've been introducing a bill into the US Congress saying that global warming causes prostitution. Believe it or not, because women are so adversely affected by climate change, 70% of the world's poor are women. Women are often the food providers in third world, in developing nations. They're the ones that grow the crops and collect the water. Their lives are going to become a lot harder because they're going to be trying to feed their families in changing weather circumstances and in extreme weather events. And also they're going to have to travel a lot further for water where water runs out. And also they bear the brunt of floods. And quite often after a natural disaster, I read on the Oxfam website recently that there's often a lot more corpses of women after an extreme weather event than there are of men. Global warming is going to have a lot of bad effects for everybody, not just the poor, but also the rich. Australia can be expecting to have quite a bit of sea level rise. They're saying now that it could be a lot more than they previously thought. It could be as much as 70 centimetres, so that's enough to flood a lot of coastal areas. Beaches will wash away. Swampland areas that are actually probably bird habitats right now could become salinized, so things won't be able to survive there. It will radically change the kind of wildlife that can survive. So it's, for a lot of creatures now, we're not talking about continuing species so much as saving the remnants of species, because some things won't be able to move.
We were hiking past the White House late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. The president appeared with folks very strange, the zombies and vampires of global climate change. It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies, let the president rest behind his own protective levees. They're doing the climate mash. real science is bash. The solutions are trash, and they do it for the cash. The creatures were having fun. Our Congress was overrun. We couldn't tell the mindless zombies from the elected ones. Now we can stop this. We have the technology. But first we have to get past industry ideology. We need your help. I'm glad to show you how. Tell your leaders in Washington to save our climate now.
You're doing a heck of a job, zombie. Hey, the snow melted. Great. So we can drill over here. Yeehaw. And here. And here. And here.
Islands are already being affected by climate change. They're getting more extreme weather events. The salt water is impinging on the freshwater lenses that people and animals on islands are using to survive. So that water is becoming undrinkable. People aren't able to grow crops on small island nations anymore, such as Kiribati, because the water is becoming contaminated. In fact, Kiribati are one of the first countries that will have to emigrate. They're planning on emigrating to New Zealand. Of course, one of the political problems with climate change is there's going to be a massive number of climate refugees. Currently, Australia doesn't recognise climate refugees. Climate refugees are just considered under the same kind of banner as every other refugee. So, you know, if you want to come to Australia, too bad. It's very, very hard. But New Zealand have taken that extra step and called them people fleeing extreme climate events. Another bunch of people from Kiribati will be moving to Fiji, where they've been given a lot of land in Fiji so they can escape from their islands. Some islands have already gone under. The Carteret Islands in the up north near the Torres Strait, a lot of them are washing away already. Some of the islands are completely gone. People, anecdotal evidence indicates that those islands have already been washed away by extreme weather events, because some of these islands are just little sandy piles of sand on tops of coral reefs. So their chances of surviving are pretty slim.
The globe is slowly warming, real scientists all know. But ExxonMobil's here to claim it really isn't so. They pay for puppet scientists to dance upon a string and contradict the obvious so no one does a thing. So raise your glass to ExxonMobil, drink some more, refill your cup. Have some more, there's always plenty. Drain it dry now, bottoms up. Toast the earth with ExxonMobil. Run the tap till closing time. Let those others tilt at windmills. Ride the tiger, you'll be fine. Beyond the frozen Yukon, the polar bears are scared. The caribou are nervous. The seals feel ill-prepared. ExxonMobil's come to drill the Arctic refuge. Trashing wildlife, oh, who cares? Profits will be huge. So raise your glass to ExxonMobil, everybody's friend indeed. Nice to know they're thinking global, twisting science to serve their greed. Toast the earth with ExxonMobil, just ignore the burning smell. Sweltering is second nature when the world gets hot as hell. Match in the gas tank, boom, boom.
Pictures on the radio. It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
Practice yoga on the ground or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio. You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all, just as long as you keep listening to the radio. So don't tell them what you look like on the radio, cause if they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you act neat,
cause they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Oh, triple Z.
People often mistake the spirit of resistance. They see it as anger and hatred and imagine its taste to be bitter. But resistance is founded in love. We find some things so beautiful and love them so deeply, so urgently, that when we identify systemic oppression that endangers them, we must resist. People often misjudge this motivation and feel it's a personal attack on them as individuals. But resistance is not something to be feared or to hold disdain for. Resistance is a passionate movement for the preservation of beauty. Resistance is a passionate movement for the preservation of beauty. love the enemy. I stare them in the eye and say I love you. Thus you can't bury me. I love resistance, I love the way it carries me. I love resistance, those in the struggle so terribly. I love resistance, I love to cherish and protect beauty. Identify and hold close all I love truly. I love resistance, I love the movement, I love pursuance. But when the system cracks as we break through it, it's love that fuels my desire to resist. Act in defiance, violently grasp my bliss. It's love that pulls this energy up inside me, guides me, fills me, pushes me to fight thee. I love resistance, I love diversity of tactics. From lawyers in suits to a bank window as you crack it. I love resistance, I love standing up to oppression. I love my obsession, I love watching the enemy crumble beneath the schemes. Landing our dreams, I love our dreams, I love our dreams.
Yeah, no lie, no lie. Rewild or die, yeah, that's how it's gotta be. If we gon' stay alive, don't cry, don't cry. We don't need to fight, we got a couple minor problems, but we could rise up. Mic check one time, everything irie, right? Turtle Island is a prize, right? And I love life, so I keep smiling wide. Gaia is the messiah, and we'll die if we can't rewild. That's how it's gotta be. Let's get us everything we wanted like a shopping spree. We'll never operate the robbery of monocropping. Yeah, we'll be gardeners in the forest, practice permaculture. We've forgotten what we lost like a lobotomy. I'm trying to talk to the bottom of your memory. Let's deoccupy the colonies. We put ecology over the economy. Listen to me. When I kick it, I promise you I don't speak lies. Yeah, I give nothing but open honesty each time. We got a lot of walls to knock down, but probably we'll be fine if we rewild our lives. Look, Babylon is inescapably violent. That's the main cause of the slavery we're trying to fix. So y'all go on with y'all debate. Straight up, if we wanna save the world, we need change worldwide quick. That's why I'm training hard, because my body and my brain gotta both be big for this renaissance. That's why I practice building fires. I'm learning how to track a pack of rabbits down and cook them up to eat. Yeah, now y'all calling me awake, cause I'm not asleep. All I do is keep my eye on the price. And now y'all calling me a snake, cause I'm not a sheep. All I'm saying is rewild or die, rewild or die. Yeah, that's how it's gotta be. Let's get us everything we wanted like a shopping spree. We'll never operate the robbery of monocropping. We'll be gardeners in the forest, practice permaculture. We've forgotten what we lost like a lobotomy. I'm trying to talk to the bottom of your memory. Let's deoccupy the colonies. We put ecology over the economy. Listen to me, we get our food from the grocery. So go and get a garden and a gun and consume more locally. Ride a bike instead of driving a car. Run for your life, play in the yard. Yeah, we're off shopping at the mall, but often what we bought is the sort of stuff we could have made ourselves. We're all working for a boss when all that we want is community. Look at what we built, bunch of pyramids.
Rescue me.
Put it, and 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 put
listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital and AutonomousActionRadio.com. The songs you just heard were Resistance by Remember Me Feral, Rewild or Die by Zach De La Ruta, and Come Rescue Me by Resident Antihero. Before that bracket of songs, during our look at G is for Global Warming, you heard The Climate Mash, which was recorded by original Monster Mash artist Bobby Boris Pickett, and was accompanied by a flash presentation featuring well-known Halloween horror characters based on photographs of President George W. Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, members of Congress, and oil industry executives. Clean the Air were sponsors of The Climate Mash, which came out in 2005. Also included in G is for Global Warming was Toast the Earth from the Expose Exxon campaign. The fight to save Tasmania's forests has been ongoing for years. These forests are magnificent. Massive trees stand in these forests, which are hundreds and also thousands of years old. Unique and threatened wildlife is also found in these forests, including Tasmanian devils, spotted quolls, and Tasmanian white goshawks. These natural wonders don't mean much to the forestry industry, though. To them, the forest means money, and really old trees are really big and worth lots of money once harvested. In late April, a big announcement was made of the signing of the Tasmanian Forest Agreement Bill. The Wilderness Society, Australian Conservation Foundation, and Environment Tasmania were the environmental groups who signed the deal. As is often the case these days, these groups have made a deal which grassroots environment groups like Still Wild, Still Threatened say does not provide long-term protection for the forests. The most concerning part of the bill, though, is a durability clause, which means if there are any substantial forest protests against ongoing logging between now and October next year, areas of forest which were going to be protected will be harvested. To find out more about the forest deal, Wave and I spoke to Still Wild, Still Threatened's Miranda Gibson.
Yeah, well, one of the key problems with it is this durability clause, and essentially what they're doing is blackmailing the community and holding our forest to ransom. So what they've done is they've said all of the proposed reserves will not be put in place if there's any protests, any market disruptions, such as people going out and telling customers about where the wood's coming from and encouraging people not to buy wood that comes from certain forests. So all of these types of things that are, obviously our democratic right to do, obviously the key part of campaigning for better forest practices, for better protection, all of these things are essentially, they're trying to silence them. They're trying to say that, the community can't speak up about anything to do with the forest industry, or it'll mean, they'll just destroy forests. So, I mean, it puts the community in a difficult situation, and it's really unprecedented in terms of this attempt at blackmailing the community and really silencing dissent.
Absolute direct blackmail of the forest, like, of all things, and oh my God, nature, oh my goodness. Anyway, and so that's pretty evil. What else sounds really bad about it?
Well, I mean, basically what it is it's an industry handout. It's basically going to prop up the native forest industry to continue destroying the forest. But it's being, greenwashed, and they're pretending that it's all about conservation, that we're getting all these conservation gains, but in reality, we aren't. The only thing that Tasmania is going to get protected is an extension to the World Heritage Area. Now, this is something that was already being put in place as a process outside of the agreement. The government had already nominated those areas. So, there's really nothing coming out of this agreement in terms of forest protection. The rest of the forest, and we're talking nearly 500,000 hectares that were identified as high conservation value, are not guaranteed any protection. And as I said, they're going to be subject to durability, but they're also subject to a whole range of other loopholes. That means there's a way for the industry and the government to get out of protecting them, every step of the way. Meanwhile, the industry is getting millions of dollars to continue the same practices that they've been doing, clear felling, burning, and all these sorts of things that, were meant to be what was getting phased out. So really what we're seeing is an intensification, a propping up of the native forest industry, money being handed out for things like, biomass burning our forests for energy and all these sorts of things that are not going to bring Tasmania forward into sustainability. They're just going to take us back to the days of wood chipping. And so, you know, really this agreement is nothing more than propping up the industry. But I think one key problem with it as well is that this greenwashing factor. So what we've got now is three major environmental groups in Tasmania who are supporting this agreement and who are not only supporting this agreement but throwing everything they've got behind it, including going around and endorsing these companies. So we've actually got organisations like the Wilderness Society who are going to be lobbying on behalf of companies like Tar Ann. This is a Malaysian company who are responsible for human rights violations in Sarawak. They're destroying native forests here and over in Sarawak, and now they're going to have a green tick of approval from, you know, these major environment groups, and I think that's really going to set us backwards in terms of what we've, you know, really pushed for with this campaign to try and get Tar Ann to stop these practices.
So, yeah, it all sounds as an agreement as hollow as the trees that are required for the animals to live in the forests. So the greenwash in particular that then is a sick joke that people should be quite aware of, it's a forest stewardship certification. I've seen it on, you know, toilet paper and crap like that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the think parts of this agreement is saying that, you know, this is kind of an element of the blackmail as well, is that, you know, unless they get Forest Stewardship Council certification for logging of native forests, the whole rest of the production forest, and they won't protect any of the reserves. And this is really problematic because, you know, unless there's a major change in the industry here, you know, it's ridiculous to say that they should get a certification for practices where they're just clear felling massive amounts of hectares of native forest, burning those areas. For these practices, if they do get FSC certification, then that's going to be a major watering down of that international standard, and it just makes it a joke. I mean, you know, if people are going to be out there buying products with FSC and those products are coming from the kinds of practices that are going on here in Tasmania, then, you know, that's just another layer of greenwashing, and I think it's really important that we are able to keep on top of this and to expose what's going on and make sure that they don't get FSC for practices that are what they're doing now.
The other thing then being also to added to all this is that it's being touted as an example for the rest of the country.
That's right. I think this is really scary and something, you know, why it's really important people right around the country are aware of what's going on in Tasmania, because there's definitely been moves to say, you know, this is a great example of resolving this situation and it could be used in other states. And, you know, I think it would be, you know, it's already a shame that we've gone down this path in Tasmania, and it would be a shame if other states around the country went down this path and basically entrenched native forest logging all around the country. And I think we should use this as an example to show that this doesn't work. When you go into a room with the industry and you're willing to make these compromises, and, you know, what we've come out with is basically the industry has walked all over the environment group. The industry has come out with exactly what they want, an ability to get heaps of money from the taxpayers and to prop up their industry and basically give no conservation outcomes. And, you know, it's really sad to see that in Tasmania. I think it's an example for the rest of the country to make sure that we don't keep going down this path.
The thing that's ongoing at the moment on your observatory website, go to that anytime, is your online art exhibition. Of course, you were up there drawing and painting and taking photos.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I've come down from the tree.
Bit of a come down altogether in other ways.
About 2 months. And, got this online art exhibition going for the month of May. And if people go to observatory.org, they can check out the art that's for sale, including photos I took from the tree, and help raise a bit of money. Because obviously, you know, now that I'm down from the tree, hasn't stopped me from continuing this campaign and from for grassroots groups all across Tasmania. Now is such an important time, because obviously we have to get the message out stronger and louder than ever to, you know, counteract this agreement and to really push that message for the forest. So, yeah, definitely we need you know, lots of support at the moment. So, yeah, check out observatory.org and get involved and, yeah, buy some artwork and see what other ways that you can help out.
Yes, great. And, so support the real grassroots campaign, not the industrial corporate green machines.
We're going to go to a song now by Jandy Rainbow, and it's called Gee, It Never Ends.
It started.
Thank you.
Alrighty, it's 10 minutes to 1 o'clock and we're going to talk now about gender. G is for gender. And this is, as I mentioned before, something which has happened in America to do with deep green resistance. You might know Derek Jensen as the author of Endgame and also the movie, the film End Civ by Franklin Lopez, which I helped out a lot on and then helped organise and went on the Australian tour for End Civ. He co-wrote the book Deep Green Resistance with Leah Keith and Eric McBay, and Eric McBay is actually the primary author of that book. Leah Keith, I've known for a while, she's a radical feminist, and some of her opinions are not very accepting of the transgender community, and especially I know some people in Portland, and I know that some people in Portland had problems with this. And so last week at the Portland Law and Disorder Conference, there was a incident where some people from Deep Green Resistance were doing a books, they had a stall with some books, and some transgender activists went up there and they defaced some books and with a magic marker, and also one of the magic markers hit one of the women. And basically Leah Keith and Derek Jensen have come out and said transgender women are not women, they're men pretending to be women, and this has caused a huge problem in, I guess, the radical environmental movement in America and the deep green resistance movement worldwide, because most environmentalists are accepting of transgender people. And I was campaigning over 10 years ago with Jandy Rainbow. We were campaigning for the Queensland anti-discrimination legislation to be changed to include transgender people, and so it's about 12 years after that, and it's great to see that people are more accepting of transgender people and there's a lot more awareness around the place. But then there's still some people, radical feminists, with these views about their men pretending to be women. And I spoke to Jandy last night, and she actually had some, you know, she's a veteran campaigner about transgender issues, and she actually had some good things to say about the thing is that with some transgender women who were socialized as men, and so they do actually maybe have some of that privilege, that male privilege that they had because they were socialized as men. And this is basically the point that Derek Jensen and Leah Keith make, is that transgender women are not women, they're men, and they were socialized as men. And so Jandy said, yeah, that's something that that they should work through, to, you know, and that may be informing their decisions and the way that they behave, which is basically what happened at the Portland Law and Disorder Conference. However,
it's the thing for all of us too. We all have our conditioning that we have to kind of work through and deal with. I guess, you know, certainly more confusing perhaps for these folks, but
Jandy said there's a chromosome. You can see in transgender people there's actual chromosomal differences. So it is more complex than just saying, oh, they're men pretending to be women. And it's really quite offensive what Derek Jensen and Leah Keith are saying. And Derek Jensen is someone who I've been influenced by, and a lot of other environmental activists. And places like Earth First have come out and distanced themselves from Deep Green Resistance. Eric McBay, who was the primary author of Deep Green Resistance, he left the organisation at the beginning of last year because of the policy on transgender. So
I have a good friend who did her PhD was on misdiagnosis of children at birth. It's apparently quite common.
Yes, and yeah, children are born with ambiguous genitalia, and basically doctors just decide what gender they're going to be. So, G for gender.
And G for genocide.
G for genocide. You You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Z Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.